Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Shabbos, Daf Kuf Beis. We're on the right page. I'm happy to announce Shabbos was extraordinarily productive. We got up to the end of the sugya yesterday, starting with the Mishnah on the top of Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, God willing, today we're going to finish the 11th parak of Shabbos. We're going to begin the 12th parak of Masechta Shabbos. Obviously, in the 11th parak of Shabbos, we are finishing up on the topic of Hotzah. Well, we talked about various forms of Hotzah, and the topic that most came up within this parak was Zrika, was throwing an item, four amos within a Rishos HaRabim, or throwing an item from Rishos HaRabim to Rishos HaYachid. And Zrika is a Tolad that's got to be a subcategory of the Malacha of Hotzah. The Mishnah starts off, Azarek v'nizkar me'ach shiyatza miyado. The Mishnah is going to be a little bit choppy. In fact, the Gemara is going to note that, and the Gemara eventually will say a pshat within the Mishnah. But I'll just read the Mishnah, I'll translate the Mishnah, and as we go through the Gemara, we're going to see, we're going to end up with a reasonably good pshat within the Mishnah. So you throw something in aft, and v'nizkar me'achar shiyatza miyado. So it leaves your hands, and then you remembered, oh no, today's Shabbos. So in other words, when you actually made the throwing motion, so you forgot it was Shabbos, and so, but you were in a state of shogeg. And then after the item was released from your hand, you remembered, oh no, today's Shabbos. So, kalta acher, kalta kelev, nishanisra fa potter. If somebody catches it, somebody who you didn't expect to catch it, it was an interception. Or kalta kelev, or let's say a dog caught it. Oshanisrafa, or it got burnt in mid-air. In all these cases, you would be potter. Zarek lasos chabura. Let's say you throw an item in order.
What does remembering have to do with it?
Right. The Mishnah is choppy. Okay. No. Your question is valid. The Mishnah is choppy, and you're gonna. We'll see when we get to the Gemara. The Gemara is gonna try to sort it all out. Zarek lasos chabura. Mishnah moves on to another case. I'm not happy with a particular person, and I throw something at him. The Mishnah is not condoning the behavior. The Mishnah is just simply giving a case. It's strange. This case finds its way in the Mishnah. And I throw it at somebody, and I want to make a chabur. My specific intent is, not only do I want to hurt him, but I want to make a wound. Bein ba'adam, bein ba'behemah, and regardless, irrespective of whether the recipient of such a wound is going to be a person or going to be an animal. V'nizkar shalonasis chabura, and now you remember that it was Shabbos before the chabur was actually made. So potters are going to be excused.
First case, somebody didn't land actually on. The Mishnah says he's potter. Second case, although it's landed, but since he reminded.
Good. You're asking the right question. So I'm going to ask you to wait a little bit because the Gemara is going to deal with it. So we're going to learn the Gemara also. That's you get the Mishnah and the Gemara here. Okay, Zakla Kochai Vechatos Einin Chayaven. So the Mishnah gives us a general rule regarding the Malacha Shabbos, and that is that to be chayav karban chatos, you have to be in a state of shogeg. But not only do you need to be in a state of shogeg, but you have to be in a continual state of shogeg from the beginning to the end. Now, by the way, what I just said may not be correct. I said from the beginning to the end. Mishnah doesn't exactly say that. The Mishnah says in the beginning and the end. So in other words, the difference between two points versus a linear continuum from one to the other. Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later on. Tchilas nishkaga v'sof and zadon. Tchilas and zadon v'sof and shkaga. Peturim. Achetei tchilas and v'sof and shkaga. Okay, so just a general rule that in order to be chayav karban chatos, you have to be in a state of shogeg, beginning, end. Good. Now, hanacha chayav. Now the Gemara says, okay, and these are a lot of your questions that you struggled with when you heard the Mishnah, and the Gemara is basically going to struggle with what's going on at the beginning of the Mishnah, right? Hanach Chayev. Sounds like from the Mishnah that had the item actually made a successful landing, you'd be Chayev. V'alo nizkar. So the Gemara says, but you remembered it was Shabbos, so if you remembered it was Shabbos, so regardless of who's the recipient of the item, it landed or didn't land, it got burnt in midair, what difference does it make? In order to be chayav karban chatos, you have to be in a state of shogeg from beginning to end. So the Gemara says, V'tanan, ko chayav chatos, enu chayav ma'achetet chalas v'sofon shkaga. So Amar Rav Kahana, Seifa Asan, lalachtecha umasna. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can make a suggestion that the Mishnah, when the Mishnah talks about Ashe Tchas of a Sofa Shkaga, so maybe that's talking about where it's Rashi describes it as being a small piece of wood. Not exactly sure how to describe it, but anyway, the meaning it's not a enduring and lasting malacha. Okay, something along those lines. Anyway, point being is that maybe that's what the Mishnah is referring to. The Gemara says, lechto mas na'ogda b'yadohu. So the Gemara says, okay, but whatever, regardless of what this is, you're throwing it, and it's still some of it's still being held in your hand. That's what's called ogda b'yadohu. That's not the malach of zorik. Zorik means when you throw something and it is totally released from your hand. So the Gemara says, "Kigon shenizkaven laskos chabura." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe the purpose of the Mishnah is to teach us where I intend to make a chabura anamitanina." The Gemara says that's also part of the Mishnah. Zorik laskos chabura bein ba'adam bein behema v'nizkar shalom nasas chabura pater. So the Gemara says, "El amarava b'mavir." The Mishnah is talking about a case of Mavir. The Gemara says, okay, but the Zahaklal is going back on the case of the Zrika. So, after a little bit of discussion, finally the Gemara concedes that when you read the Mishnah is not talking about one case, but the Mishnah is rather talking about two cases. Hazorik v'nizkar, me'achar shi'yatza mi'adam. Okay, so in other words, here we're going to do. We're going to take our Mishnah, basically break it up into two separate cases. Case number one of the Mishnah is, Hazarek v'nizkar me'achar shi'yatza mi'adam, meaning, I threw something, at the time when I threw it, I forgot it was Shabbos, and then after, left my hand while midair, I remember it was Shabbos. Okay, that's case number one. Meaning, and don't attach that to the, and the dog caught it, or burnt in midair. In other words, that is simply case number one. In that case, you're going to be potter. Why? For the simple reason that you need to be b'shogeg from beginning to the end in order to be chayiv a karban chatas. Inami, and then the Mishnah gives us a second case, which is lo nizkar v'kalta acher, o kalta kelev, o shenisrafa pater, where you didn't remember with Shabbos, you were still in a state of shogeg. It just happens to be that your designated intent was it land in a particular place, and it was intercepted by a dog, by somebody else, burnt in midair. You're going to be patur as well. Why? Simply because in order to be shechayev on Shabbos, you have to do what you intended to do. And since it got intercepted, so therefore you're not going to be chayev. So in other words, there are two separate halachas being taught in our Mishnah. There are two separate cases in the Mishnah, and don't combine those two cases. Okay? That's going to be mahalach number one, the first approach within our Mishnah. Good. Ravashi Amar Chesuri Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. Ravashi is going to offer another pshat within the Mishnah. Now, in order to offer another pshat in the Mishnah, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to add something into the Mishnah. The Mishnah as it is right now is a little too choppy, a little too... It's not progressive. It doesn't progress from one point to the next. So we'll just add a little bit and we'll say the following. Hazorik v'nizkar me'achar shi'yatza mi'ado. You throw something. And remember, it was Shabbos after the item left your hand. Kalta acher, o kalta kelev, o shenisrafa pater. Now, if a dog or a person or burnt in the air you'd be pater. Hanacha chayev, but had it rested, you'd be chayev. Now, how does that work? You remembered it was Shabbos after you left your hand. So why would you be chayev if it landed where you wanted it to land? Sorry. You're right. Yeah, why would you be chayiv? You remembered it was Shabbos. So, b'medva mamorim, shechazer v'shachach. So the Gemara says, you know what the case of the Mishnah is? Where you forgot again. I know this is improbable, but in other words, but basically now we're going to talk about the point that we discussed earlier in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says beginning, end, are we talking about a continuum? Or are we talking about two points? So now what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. According to Rav Ashi, our Mishnah is discussing a case where, when I threw the item, I was b'shogeg. Midair, I remembered it was Shabbos. And then I lapsed back into a state of unawareness, and then the item landed. Okay, I understand, the case is improbable. But in other words, what we're trying to learn in the Mishnah is that even though I had a point of remembering midair, the fact remains is that I was b'shogeg at the beginning, I was a b'shogeg at the end, and therefore I'm going to be chayev a karban chatas. Aval lo chaz v'shachach pater shekol chayev chatas ein chayev an ashi tchilasim v'sof an shkaga. Okay, that's how Rav Ashi is going to learn the Mishnah. So it's possible that you're going to remember Shabbos midair, and you're still going to be chayav karban chatas. How would that be? When you lapse back into your state of unawareness before the item lands, so that now when the item lands, you're in a state of shogeg, you were shogeg at the beginning, you were shogeg at the end, and therefore, explain to Rav Ashi, you're going to be chayav.
If in the midair he's been forgiven not to have any chatas, so he didn't initiate after that.
No, but, right, but in other words, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in the remainder of the daf, the act of Zorek is one act, meaning it's in that one throw, basically is embedded both the Akira and the Hanach. Well, the Akira I already did. I already picked up the item. But when I throw the item is going to be Munach when it takes its course. So the point being is that I have to be in a state of Shogeg when it lands. What happens in between my throwing and my landing becomes inconsequential, at least according to Rav Ashi. Okay, good. All right, so that's so now that ends our first topic of discussion within the Mishnah, and we have now two basic approaches within the Mishnah, meaning how do you simply learn the Mishnah? Really, really, you can reduce it down to that question. Our first approach was just going to be Rava's approach, which is break up the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about two separate cases. And really, the Mishnah is teaching us two separate points. One, that you have to be a shogeg b'tchilas of a sofo. And two, in order to be chayv and shabbos, karban chatas, the item has to go where you wanted it to go. If it got intercepted, you're not going to be chayv. But really, there are two separate points of the Mishnah. And then Rav Ashi learns our Mishnah. But with Rav Ashi, you got to do a little fancy footwork, and you got to add a little bit into the Mishnah. But the case of the Mishnah is as it reads, where if I throw an item and I remember it was Shabbos after I left my hand, and if it was intercepted, or if so, in all those cases you're going to be potter, and if it lands you're going to be chayev. And to Rav Ashi, how does that work? How are you going to be chayev? You remembered it was Shabbos, so you should be potter from a karban. And the answer is, says Rav Ashi, chesur mechzura, the missing piece of the Mishnah, which is that chazer v'shaga. You forgot again it was Shabbos, so now you went from shogeg to mezid to shogeg, and because you were shogeg in the beginning and at the end, so you're going to be chayav karban chatas.
Why don't you just say once he throws it, that's it. You can't retract, you can't never take it back.
Right.
Why don't we just say that's it, right. whatever he's thinking.
Right, I hear that argument, and the Gemara doesn't accept it, meaning certainly Rav Ashi doesn't accept it. I mean, Rav Ashi says that your state of mind becomes significant when the item lands. Okay.
The Akira itself is not a
malacha? The Akira is a half malacha. The other half is hanacha. So in order to be a carbon, you have to have the entire act of the malacha been done in the state of shogeg with the Akira and the hanacha. We continue in the Gemara. We're halfway down the page. We're at the two dots. Itmar she'amos b'shogeg, she'amos b'mezit, she'amos b'shogeg. Okay, following case were to occur. Two amos were done b'shogeg, two amos were done b'mezit, and the next two amos are done b'shogeg. Now, So Rabba Amar Pater, Rabba Amar Chayev. So we have a machlokes amongst the Amorayim, whether or not you'd be chayev a karban chatas. Okay. Now, Rabba Amar Pater, I feel a Rabban Gamliel. Now, Rabba says you're going to be excused, you're going to be exempt from bringing a karban chatas. Now, even according to Rabban Gamliel, Damar Ein Yedil Achatzi Shir. Now, Rabban Gamliel has an opinion, which we've seen time and again throughout Chas, which is that if you have yediya, but only after having done a chatzi shir, that's not a yediya. In other words, that we will not call that a point of knowledge. And so therefore, that yediya will not break up the first half and the second half. According to Rabbi...
Yes or no, it's two letters.
In other words, when you're eating chalef, give a simple example. You're eating chalef, right? The forbidden fats of an animal. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, let's say you forget that eating chalef is asr, and you start eating chalef, and after eating a half a kezayis, you remember, you forget again, you eat the second half of the kezayis. Rabbi Gamliel says, you ate a full kezayis in a state of shogeg. What about the idea that you had halfway through? So Rabbi Gamliel says, no. There's no yediya on a chatzi shir. That's the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. Not everyone agrees, but that's the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. Here, what you could have made the argument is, look, two amas I carried b'shogeg. Two amas I carried b'mezid. Two amas I carried again b'shogeg. So now, well, if I apply the basic rule of Rabbi Gamliel, so those two, the remembering that in the middle shouldn't break up the first two and the last two. Why not? Because it was only chatzi shir. The full shear on Shabbos is to carry 4 amos, and over here I only carried 2 amos. So if I apply the rule of Rabbi Gamliel, those two in the middle shouldn't break it up, and therefore you should be chayv karban chatas on the first two and on the last two. But the Gemara points out, no, Rambam's going to argue that's not true. According to Rabbi Gamliel, even in this case, it's going to break it up. Why? So, Rabbi Amar Patar Filo Rabbi Gamliel Damar Yidir Chati Shir Hasam Hu Dechi Gamar Shir Rabbi Shogei Kagamar. Because look, when you got to the finish the 4th amma, right? You carried 4 ammas, and now let's take a. Let's take a summary of what happened up to that 4th amma. 2 of it I carried by Shogeg, and 2 of it I carried by Mazin. Now, it's true I had 2 different mindsets, but when all said and done, I carried 4 ammas. So, in other words, we're done. Put that in the books. I carried 4 ammas. Now, how did I carry those first 4 ammas? Well, 2 of them were Shogeg, and 2 of them were Mazin. So, you're not going to be Chayv Karban Chatas, because when you carried with the 3rd and 4th amma, you were in a state of mezid. So you're not going to be chayv karban chatas. Avahacha de bemezid, lo. Uvemai. Now the Gemara now further wants to understand. Now we've talked about 2, 2, and 2. 2 bishogeg, 2 bemezid, 2 again bishogeg. Now we didn't say, and I deliberately didn't explain, are we throwing the item? Or are we carrying the item? So the Gemara says, Ibizareg Shogegu. So the Gemara says, well, if you threw the item, that's a Shogeg. Meaning, because as we just got done explaining our Mishnah, as Rav Ashi just got done explaining our Mishnah, in the case of Zrika, forgetting, remembering, forgetting is still going to be Chai, because at the beginning and at the end, you were in a state of Shogeg. Ella b'mavir. So it must be that we're talking about where you're actually carrying the item. A total of 6 amas. Rava amar chayav. Afila rabban damer yeshi dila chatzi shir hasamu di biyado. Avahacha di ein biyado lo. And Rava says that you're going to be chayav because here it's no longer within your control. Now the Gemara says, now wait a second, what does that mean it's no longer in your control? Uvemai. Ibemavir harebiyado. Well, if you're carrying the item, so when you get to Amma number 3, Amma number 4, you could stop in the middle. So Ella Bizarek. So it must be talking about when Rava says that you're chayev, it must be talking about a case where you actually threw the item. So you threw the item. Since it's Eino Biyado, since it's no longer within your control, so therefore you're going to be chayev. So Rava teaches us that if I threw it and it landed in the mouth of the dog or in the mouth of a furnace, so you're going to be chayev. Problem is that Rava is against our Mishnah. The Gemara gives the simplest and most fundamental answer. Listen, the Malach HaShabbos, it all depends on what your intent is. If your intent is for your dog to catch it and you threw it and your dog caught it, you're going to be chayev. If you intended it to go onto the kishon and it ended on the kishon, you're going to be chayev. Our Mishnah is talking about interception. Our Mishnah is talking about where I wasn't intending. That wasn't the intended receiver of my item. And that's why our Mishnah says you're going to be potter. I'm Rabibi Barabai Afanamitanina. And now Rabbi Bia Barabai points out, I'd like to support this as well. Yesh ochel achila achas v'chayv ala dal chatos. A person can eat 1 achila and be chayav 4 different carbon chatoses, v'osham echan and a carbon osham on top of that as well. Tamish achal chilav hunosim and amukdoshim yama kippurim. So, right, these cases in the Mishnayos increases, they're enjoyable. Right, where can we get the biggest bang for our buck? Meaning, how can a person be chayav the most out of 1 act? Again, not condoning, just understand conceptually, you know, how much can be generated. So, you can have a person who is tameh, who's eating chaylev. The chaylev was nosar, which means that it belonged to a carbon, and the carbon expired. The time of the carbon expired. Min amukdashin. B'yom HaKippur, and he eats so on Yom Kippur. Okay, so you got the, you get all of it. Let's go through all of it. So first of all, it's Yom Kippur. So he's eating on Yom Kippur. So that's already one carbon chatos. On top of that, it's chalev. Chalev is forbidden. And the eating of chalev is an isser kari. So if you eat the chalev b'shogeg, that's another carbon chatos. He's tamei. The person who is eating is tamei. I'm sorry. It belonged to a carbon, and the person who is eating it is tamei. That's another carbon chatos. And finally, the fact that it's nosar, it's left over from a carbon whose time is expired, that's another carbon chatos. Additionally, it also belongs to hektesh, and because it belongs to hektesh, and you misappropriate from hektesh, so you have to bring a carbon asham me'ila. Okay? Four carbon chatoses, one asham me'ila. Okay, wonderful. Rabbi Meir Omer Afi Maisa Shabbos Votzia Befiv Chayav. Now, Rabbi Meir creatively would like to add one more. Meaning, I can, in the same act, generate one more carbon chatos, and that would be where he took the item while eating it, having it in his mouth, and carrying it while it was in his mouth, and you be chayav on the malacha of Hotzah. Now Amar lo, ain't him in a shame. Now they say to Reb Meir, look, that's creative, but that's not it doesn't fit. And why doesn't it fit? Because we're talking about Isurei Achila. We're talking about all the liabilities that result from the act of eating. When you're carrying food in your mouth, that's not eating. That's a malach of hotza, that's carrying. So although it's creative and all, it just doesn't fit into our discussion. N.A., it's not applicable to our talk. Now the Gemara says, V'amai ha'in derech hotza bekach. So the Gemara now notes, why would you be chayev? People don't carry in their mouth. So the Gemara says very simply, look, because that was your intent, and once that becomes your intent, so that gives it chashivas, it gives it status, and therefore would be considered an act of otzah. And if I want the dog to catch it, and if I want the person to receive it, so that also is going to be an act of that's going to have status, and therefore you're going to be chayev.
But why does he mention Shabbos? Yom Kippur would be a problem with Hotzoah also.
No, the reason why Yom Kippur is because Achila on Yom Kippur, meaning we want the Isuri Achila.
Right, but now he wants.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I understand your question. Okay, right. The Gemara, not here. Elsewhere, the Gemara asked that question, and one of the Gemara's answers is because there is an opinion, we don't accept it, but there's an opinion that the Isser of Hotzah doesn't apply in Yom Kippur.
Oh.
And that's why you had a tack on Shabbos over there as well. Okay, good. All right, Hadron HaChazorech, that is the end of the 11th Perek of Shabbos. Okay, and now we begin. Beginning the 12th Perek of Shabbos, and now we move. We are finished with Hotzah. Not exactly, but you know what I mean. In other words, for the time being, that we have formally finished the discussion of the malacha of Hotzah, and we now move to discuss other malachos of Shabbos. Now, I challenge you to explain to me the order of how we're going to do this. Meaning, we're going to start now Perek HaBona, which obviously discusses the malacha of Bona. Okay, thank you. And then the 13th parak, we're going to be talking about the malacha of Oreg. And then the 14th parak, we're going to be discussing the malacha of Asiyas Chabura. And in other words, we are going to be discussing now the malachas in much greater detail, but doesn't seem to be necessarily in the same order as we discussed in our Mishnah. And although usually Rav Yehuda Nasi is super organized when it comes to the presentation of the Mishnayos, we're now going to be seemingly discussing the malachos in a somewhat more random selection in terms of order.
Even because Hotzah was the last one, and this is Michael Patish, the one before.
So we're moving backwards. Right. And, okay. Well, good. Okay, and is that going to be consistently? Okay, right. And okay, fine. We have a hesber at least for this perek. Habona kama yibana v'yechayev. So how much you have to build on Shabbos to be chayev again? Shear. The issue of the Mishnah is a very simple one. Shear. How much? How much you're going to have to be? You're going to have to do in a chayev. So here by bona, the shear is a very simple shear. Habona kol shehu. Okay, so. As opposed to other malachas, where there's a certain amount in which we would discuss. So bona, the amount is any amount. So it's interesting. By bona, it's much more about the act than it is about the result. In other words, by all the other malachas, not all the other ones, but most other malachas, you need to accomplish a certain amount. So there needs to yield a certain result. In the act of boneh, seems like from the Mishnah, it's more about the act than it is about the result. Okay, but that's, you know, an observation. Habonah kam yibana ve'echai v'habonah kosho. Ha-misaseis v'ha-makeh be'patish v'ha-atseid. If you are misaseis, you chisel. Right, Rashi explains, Marbeas ha-even, u'mitakna ha-kolafi, ha-makam sheyesh mekam sheregim la-hachlik, v'yesh mekam sheregim la-chrotba, charitzim, be'eretz Ashkenaz. Interesting Rashi. Rashi says, you know, various menagim in terms of how to prepare stone before building. Some prefer the stones to be smooth, some prefer the stones to be grooved, and whatever the minhag is, meaning however your stone preparation is, any act, any significant act of the stone preparation would result in the malacha of boneh. Hamakeh bepatish. What is that malacha? Again, take a look at Rashi. Kam hu ba'avos malachos v'hu b'la'az pik. Saviv umavdil minahar kitzas humake bepatish make gedola vehi misparekes venofelas. Rashi gives an interesting example over here of what make bepatish is. If you remember the Rashi back in the Mishnah in Klal Gadol, now Rashi over here does not give the same illustration of what he gave back then. Back then he talked about hitting the hammer against the anvil in order to smooth out the surface of the hammer. That's the example that Rashi gave over there, makeh bepatish, which really fits in more to the language of makeh bepatish, meaning giving the final blow of the hammer. Here Rashi explains it as, basically what I'm going to quarry, and I want to remove a certain stone from the mountain, and basically, you know, I'm chiseling it from all different points, and I almost have it detached, and now with one final blow, I get to remove it from the mountain. So that's what Rashi over here describes as makeh bepatish. It's not a kasha. I don't think it's a kasha. I'm just pointing out that Rashi over here is not giving the same example as Rashi back in Klal Gadol. But the point being is that it's the final act. It's the final blow.
Within the context of building.
Yeah. Right. Agreed. Meaning Rashi is discussing it contextually. Agreed. All right. I think it's a very good observation. So makeh bepatish v'ham atseid. So it's also a form of hammering. So akadech kolshu, who now drilling. Drilling, says the Mishnah, kolshu, any hole, any size, is also going to be melech Shabbos. That will also be part of boneh. Chayv zechayv. Zechakol osa melech u'melech tom is kayemis b'Shabbos. Chayv. And it has a general rule. If you do a melech and the melech is miskayem, it lasts, so you're going to be chayv. Rishim Gamil Omer Afamake Bekornis Al Hasdan Bishas Malacha Chayv Bimneshu Kemisakin Malacha. Hitting the hammer on the anvil and giving it its final blow. It's going to be Chayv. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly is happening in that last segment of the Mishnah. The Gemara starts off Kol Shehu Lamai Chazya. Now, building any amount is going to be Chayv. Now, any amount? Meaning, what I suggest in the Mishnah, that it's more about the act and not about the result, the Gemara basically says that can't be. Because we know, every malacha is platformed off the Mishkan. The Mishkan was not about an act, the Mishkan was about a result. In other words, there's a yield. So when we say that with a shear for building is a kol shehu, it can't be that just the act itself is going to be chayiv. There's got to be some sort of net result. So the Gemara now is going to make a number of suggestions. So the Gemara says, you know that a poor person, so he puts his whatever few little money that he has, so he hides his money. Where does he hide it? So the Gemara gives a suggestion. Well, he puts it in the ground. So the Gemara, and obviously, in order to describe that, we need to go back to the Mishkan. There's got to be some sort of precedent for that in the Mishkan. So the Gemara explains, well, maybe in the Mishkan, what the women did is that the needles that they used for sewing, so where would they store it? So the Gemara gives a suggestion. They dug a hole in the ground. They put the needles in the ground, and that's where they stored it. So in other words, just a little digging in the ground is all they needed to hide their needles. Abayam, I'm sorry. Abai Amar Kevin Demishtache Lo Avdihache. Abai says, no, I can't imagine. Hard to imagine that they would do that. In fact, you take your needles and you dig them in and bury them in the ground, they're going to rust. They're not going to last. It's really hard to imagine that that's the reason why a bone, the shear of bone, is called shom. So the Gemara gives another suggestion. Well, you know, the poor person, he constructs his a little kira, a little oven, in order to make his food, and that construction of the little oven, that's the shir kol shehu. So the Gemara says, Gabi Mishkan Mevashli Simon Litzvo Yurios, Shechasa Malachsanose Pitpute Kira Ketana Lusposalah Yore Ketana. And the Gemara says, well, isn't that basically the same thing where I have they have basically a small little oven that they use for cooking up the simanim, the dyes, and that's what they're dyeing in the Mishkan when dyeing all the curtains. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Inei Anias b'Makom Ashir. The Gemara doesn't like that suggestion as well. Meaning, what he basically saying is that they use little pots and little ovens, mini ovens, in the construction of the Mishkan. The construction of the Mishkan was done as royalty with large pots, and it was a major production. It wasn't a minor production. So that's not how they did it as well. Elo shekein balabai sheish lo nekev b'raso v'sosmo. So the Gemara says, okay. So the reason why is because what happens is that if you have a small hole in your house, in the wall, so you're going to plug up the hole. The kavaseg abe mishkan shekein kerish enafla bo darna meitif latocha eiver v'sosmo. So imagine now the krushim in the Mishkan, the krushim which we discussed at length in Perakot Zarek, 48 of the beams that are used to construct the Mishkan. So let's say one of them gets holy, right? A little hole in the kerish formed by a worm. And so now you have this wormhole. You don't want the wormhole, so what do? So you heat up some lead, and you pour the lead in to fill in the small hole. So the Gemara says, that's where we find it in the Mishkan. That's why bone is kol shehu. And so therefore, if I do the same in my own home, so therefore you're going to be chayef.
The lead would stick to wood, or no?
You can't ask me about that. I have nothing. I'm not qualified to make a comment on that. It is interesting to me, and again, if you have a suggestion, in terms of why the Gemara kind of works backwards. Meaning the Gemara says, where is it precedented that Binyan is called Shehu? And so what the Gemara kept doing, you know, trial and error, but what the Gemara kept doing is, well, nowadays, the poor person is going to hide his money. Or nowadays, the poor person is going to make a little akira. Or nowadays, a person is going to make, you know, fill in the hole in the wall. And then we go backwards to the Mishkan, and in the Mishkan, here's what happened. Meaning, shouldn't it go the other way? Meaning, if we're trying to find a precedent, we should first find out where in the Mishkan they did it, and then translate it to a more modern day phenomena. I don't know why, it's just my own curiosity. I don't know why the Gemara seemingly works backwards in giving these cases.
Maybe the Mishkan, they really didn't do it, but it's conceivable that they would have done it had they been
maybe
under the same.
Maybe that's a suggestion. Okay, could be. Amar Shmuel had mitzadeit etz ha'aven chayev. Okay, smoothing out the side of the stone, you're going to be chayev. Right, Rash explains that Moshiva Mitzada Achit Misyashevet Bekarkio Yisod Habinyan Yafe. Mitochshu Mitzada Hu Mechina Tachta Moshiva Ba'aretz Chayev Ve'afilu Nasantid Havibone Koshu Diyesh Mekaimim Kain Below Tit. And the point being of our Gemara, as explained by Rashi, is that even if you didn't put cement. So in other words, you basically smoothed out the stone, made it now where I could place it down right here. So level off, you're going to be chayav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll quote you the Braisa, and the Braisa says it very clearly, that in order to be chayav on the Malacha of Binyan Shabbos, it's not just laying down the stone, but it's laying down the stone and laying down the cement as well. The Gemara says, yeah, but if you read on the Braisa, it's not a kashi. In fact, the continuation of the Braisa seems to support exactly what we just said. That just simply laying down the stones is going to be enough. In fact, the Braisa reads, "Afilo halavihinich agabi din v'shalavanim chayev." Just placing it down is going to be chayev. So the truth of the matter is that really, the Braisa in of itself is complicated and confusing. and truth be told, is that it's a stira minei ubei within the Braisa. Because first the Braisa says that you're going to be chayv only when I cement the stone to the ground. And then the Braisa says just simple placement of the stone is going to be chayv. So how do you understand all this? Ella. Talsa binyana havu. So the Gemara says, well, basically what we're going to do is we're going to describe three different layerings of the building. Now, I'm not in construction, and my only experience is basically watching. Yeah, right. I do a great job watching others, you know, build, but I'm not a builder myself. So I'll just give it to you, the Gemara, at face value. And those of you who know more about construction, you'll comment. But Talsa, right? So the crushing were not cemented. They were fastened together. They were secured together. Right. But it's, in other words, it's bone. In other words, it's building. So in other words, you take the goal, which is to build the structure, you put it into our building technique, and it's still going to be the malach of Bona. But you're right, though. It's, in other words,
is it a tolada then, maybe? Since it wasn't exactly.
Correct. We could call it a tolada. I'm not sure if that's accurate, but it's fair. It's a fair suggestion. So the mitzia, I'm sorry. So talsa binyan ahava. So there are three stages to the building. Talsa mitzia v'ila. There's the bottom, there's the middle, and then there's the top. Tasa by its adudei v'afra. So when you do the bottom, so the bottom obviously is the foundation. And so for the foundation, it needs to be extraordinarily secure. So therefore, it needs to be cemented in. Mitzia by namitina. Now, the middle one also needs to be secure because it's going to hold that which is on top of it. So it also needs to be cemented. It doesn't need the afra, it doesn't need the dirt that the bottom needs. The bottom needs afra and tit. It needs both dirt and cement. Middle only requires cement, and ilah behanacha be'alma. And then you get to the top rows of the building, and now you have such a solid foundation, both on the bottom and on the middle. So for the top, you just simply lay the bricks on the top, and that would be fine, that would be sufficient. Okay? Hamisaseis. And by the way, and then we go back to the Braisa, and then now you understand Pshat in the Braisa. Meaning when the Braisa was describing that you're not going to be chayv until you cement it in, that's talking about the bottom rows. That's talking about the middle rows. And then when the Braisa says, and just laying it would be chayv, that's talking about the top rows. Okay. Hamisaseis. Misaseis mishamai. Now, misaseis, chiseling out the stones, carving grooves in the stones, right? Whatever the minhag is. So, mishum mai mechayev, Rav Amar, mishum bona. So, Rav says that you're chayev because it's a malacha of bona. It's part of the building process. Shmuel Amar, mishum makibepatish. And Shmuel says, no, it's a function of makibepatish, meaning the stone has been, to this point in time, is not ready to be placed into the building. Once you smooth it down, once you chisel and smooth it down, you made it ready for the building. Makibepatish, that's considered the final act. It's interesting now because essentially what final act means is not a final act in the entire process, but a final act in each step, in each stage of the process. Meaning obviously the stone is going to be intended for a building. But still, once the stone is complete, says Shmuel, that's makibepatish. Okay. What difference does it make? Well, in other words, it's a malacha either way. In other words, it's Chil Shabbos either way. So what difference does it make? So the simplest answer to that question would be Hasra. Meaning you see somebody who's chiseling a stone on Shabbos, right? And you want to now know, if you want to serve as an aide, which is a mitzvah, it's not exactly going to be the most pleasant mitzvah, and you now want to serve as an aide. So in order to be an aide, you have to give Hasra. You have to give a warning to the person. You know you cannot do that. And as part of the Hasra, you have to explain to them why you can't do that. What are you violating? And so you explain to them, you know, that chiseling, which is a malacha on Shabbos, and it's a malacha of, and then you got to remember the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuv Beis Amud Beis, Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, exactly what it is. Rav says it's bonus, Shmuel says it's makib epatish. Okay. How is it neke belushal tanigolem? Rav Amar Mishum Bona, and Shmuel Amar Mishum makib epatish. You make a small hole in the chicken coop. What's the hole for? Rashi explains. Exhaust. Okay. In other words, the chickens do what they do, and there's a tremendous amount of gas in the coop itself. I mean that on every level. And so basically it needs an exhaust. If you don't put an exhaust, Rashi says, those chickens aren't going to make it. Right? If you don't put some sort of exhaust within the chicken coop, so you're going to be chayv. So, chayv mishamai. What exactly is the malacha? So, once again, machlok is between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's bona, and Shmuel says it's makeh bepatish. Ayel shufta bekufina demara. So, if I put in the blade at the end of the shovel, so... right,
you know, put the axe, you know, the wood,
right,
in order for the handler to secure a piece of wood.
Oh, okay, fine.
We call it a wedge. You
know. A wedge. Okay, so I wedge it in. So Rav Amar Mishum Bonus, Shmuel Amar Mishum Makeh Bepatish. So once again, the same achlokus between Rav and Shmuel, whether this is an act of bona or this is an act of makeh bepatish. Now, basically, three different scenarios that are given in terms of whether these acts are considered an act of binyan or an act of makeh bepatish. So, utzricha, the Gemara says all three of them are necessary. Diyashmin and kamaisa ba'i kamar rab misham, the derech binyan mekach. In the first case, we were talking about chiseling a stone. That's derech binyan. That's how it normally occurs. Aval os enekir belul shatarnigolim. De'ein derech binyan mekach. That's not the normal derech binyan. In the case of the chicken coop, That is a final touch, but that's not binyan. So I might have thought that Rav would agree to Shmuel. So ema modele Shmuel. So v'yashmin ba'abaha. I'm sorry. V'yashmin ba'abaha kamar Rav mishum d'dam lebinyan da'av de la avira. I might have thought that in the second case of the lul shetarnigolim, where I need it because I need an exhaust in the lul shetarnigolim, so that's binyan. Aval shufta bekufina damar dein derech binyan mekach ema modele Shmuel. But to secure the blade in the handle of the shovel, so that's not an act of binyan. So I would have thought that maybe he would agree with Shmuel. And if all I had was the last case, so there Shmuel would say that's makeh bepatish. But in the first two cases where I'm actually constructing, building, smoothing the stone, making an exhaust for the chicken coop, I might have thought that Shmuel agrees with Rav. So Tzricha, so the Gemara says that's why all these cases are necessary. Okay, so we finished today the 102nd daf of Shabbos. We started ending the perek of Hazarik this morning, going over our final touches of the Malach of Hazarik. Essentially what we learned in the end of Hazarik, the beginning of today's daf, is that in order to be chayav in Shabbos, you have to have a shogeg both in the beginning and in the end. Essentially, we ask the question: are they points? Or are we talking about a continuum? From Rav Ashi, it seems like they are points. Meaning, as long as you're a shogeg in the beginning and you're a shogeg in the end, so you're going to be chayav in carbon chatos. Although maybe what we could do is we could limit that to the malacha of zarek, because since in the malacha of zarek, once you throw it, it's eino biyado; it's no longer in your hands. So therefore, you're going to be chayiv. Maybe mavir is different. In fact, the Gemara talked about this morning the case where I traversed while holding it two amos b'shogeg, two amos b'mezid, two amos b'shogeg. So there, the Gemara says you're going to be putter because even though you were shogeg in the beginning and the end, but when you finished your first four malachas, you did not do so in a state of shogeg.
That's only for carrying, right?
And that would be for carrying, not necessarily for throwing. And then we started the 12th parak of Shabbos this morning. We talked about the malacha of binyan. The shear for binyan is a kol shehu. Why should that be? The Gemara gave a number of suggestions. The Gemara ended up landing on the fact that there may be a hole in the keresh, and you're gonna fill in the hole with lead. So any act of binyan is going to be an act of binyan vis-a-vis Shabbos. And then the Gemara talked about various activities, whether it's a malacha of bona, or it's a malacha of makeh bepatish, and some achlokas between Rav and Shmuel on all these cases. By Isser, we normally go by Rav, but again, I'll be honest with you, I did not look it up. So, this is a perfect place for the Rav. Learning we do this morning should be Le'ilu Nishmas, Shakri Shalomo, Ben Meshalah, and a continued Refuah Shleima, Binyamin Zev, Ben Sharon Arifka.